Got sound? Good, good. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians 10th chapter, we'll pick up where we left off last time talking about the imagination. Begin to talk about how the imagination is your entrance into the supernatural. So your imagination is either going to be positive or negative based on what you allow it to be. Negative imagination, God spoke to us very clearly through the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, what to do with negative imaginations. He calls them strongholds. Verse 5, he tells us to cast down imaginations, which in the previous verse, he says, which is the pulling down of strongholds. How we do that? You see the semicolon there. How you pull down strongholds? By casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when you bring every captivity into the obedience of Christ, you're pulling down strongholds. When you pull down strongholds, that means you're in control, listen to me, internet, of your imagination. When you cannot control your imagination, it can become a stronghold to you. Give you examples of how imagination can become a stronghold to you. One of the greatest examples of how your imagination can be a stronghold to you is how they train elephants. I don't know if you ever realized how they train elephants. When you train an elephant, all you got to do is stop an elephant. The way they do it in India and in the zoos is tie an elephant to a tree stump. That's what they did. Elephant pulls one time, don't pull no more. Just limited his imagination. Now, he'd probably push trees over before, but they tie him to that tree stump. He can't pull away from it at one time, and you never got to worry about him trying to pull away again. Why? Because his imagination has been limited. It tells him what he can't do when he actually can. So a negative imagination will stop you from accomplishing God's will. So we have to be like Abraham. Go to Romans, the fourth chapter. Go to Romans, the fourth chapter. Verse 17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So in other words, we're supposed to be calling things that we don't see yet. What you mean things we don't see yet? Things you don't see with your physical eyes, but you see with your inner eye. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Your imagination is what? Your inner eye. Your imagination is your inner eye. You should be able to see things that don't yet exist. When you begin to train yourself to see things that don't exist, you can behave in a certain way will bring those things to pass. How many understand that? So this is why Satan works so hard on your mind. This is why Satan works so hard on your soul, because he knows how God created you. I think it's Psalms 139, the Bible says, Oh, my soul, how quite well I know. My bones were formed in the womb. I saw the bones being formed. Other words, your imagination has the ability to see things before they exist. If you don't practice doing that, then you're going to let outside forces control what happens to you. You have to do what God says. You have to call those things that be not as though they were. Your imagination are pictures formed from what you hear. So that's why you have to protect what you hear, what you see, what you intake into your mind. because it creates your imagination. How many of you all, I don't watch them, and not because I have anything against them. I don't have anything against them. I just don't watch horror movies. People who watch horror movies tend to be fearful. They like to be fearful. Why? Because what they're intaking. So they see it, and their imagination begins to run with it. So they can't walk in the dark. They're always looking over their shoulder because their imagination has taken, a negative part of the imagination has taken over. Why? Because of their intake. So we have to be careful what we take in because we have to protect our imagination. I began to talk about last week the times 10 rule. Read a book by this guy, talked about the times 10 rule. What it is, he began to talk about writing down what you want to do. Then he said multiply by 10. What that's doing, it's expanding your imagination. Is that Bible? Yes. Go to Mark 11. Mark 11:23. This is an imagination scripture. He said, "For verily," Jesus talking, "for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his what? What? Heart is your mind and your spirit. But shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." That's Romans 4:17. Calling those things that be not as though they were. So now you understand the power of confession, not the power of repeating, the power of confession. It's a reason why you get up in the morning and you say certain things to yourself. Because you're calling those things that be not as though they were. You should never call what you see. Why? It's already here. That's not using your imagination. That's not using your mind. That's not using the mind that God gave you, the imagination God gave you to put yourself in a position to receive what he's planned for you. So you don't need to talk about what you see. Talk about what you want to see. See, Jesus, the reason why Jesus used this, he said, whoever shall say to this mountain, a mountain is huge. He didn't say a hill. He didn't say a plateau. He said a mountain, something that has a peak on it, that's huge. What are you trying to do? Stretch their imagination. Jesus blew their mind. Right before this, Jesus blew the disciples' mind because here it is, he walking, he hungry. There's a fig tree, supposed to have figs on it, even though it wasn't in season. See, this blowing their imagination mind. Why? The tree had leaves on it, but no figs. Because the Bible says the times of figs was not yet. But if there's a fruit tree with leaves on it, it's supposed to have fruit. So that means that this tree was already blowing the minds of the disciple, their imagination. See, none of this shocked Jesus. None of this shocked Jesus. Jesus was expecting God to take care of him. Jesus' imagination was always beyond everybody. Jesus' imagination was so far out there that sometimes that's why Jesus said, "I got some things I want to tell you, but you ain't ready to hear them." Because his mind was so far out there that some of the things he said and were to do, they couldn't take it. So Jesus walked by, and obviously the disciples heard him walk by the tree. He said, "Curse this fig tree. You ain't gonna do this no more." Went on about his business. They come out of the city, they went to do ministry and come back out. The disciples noticed their fig tree dead. They were shocked. Jesus wasn't. Why? Because Jesus has had the practice and knows how to call those things that be not as though they were. And he believed what he said. That's why it happened for him. Are y'all seeing this? So when the disciples come back, they were shocked that this had happened. So Jesus, that's what Jesus said, have faith in God or have your assignment in God. Now you can talk to this mountain. Now you can call things that be not as though they were. But you have to believe it. You know what the word believe simply means? The word believe is not hard to conceive, not hard to understand or grasp. Believe simply means to be convinced. That's all the word believes means, to simply be convinced. Jesus said, told a man that with the son, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. He said, if thou canst be convinced that all things are possible to him that is convinced. So the convincing is not on God's part. The convincing is not on God's part. God already knows who he is. He already knows what he can do. But God can't do for you till you're convinced that he can do it. So the way you convince yourself is by Romans 12:2. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Proverbs 23:7, turn there. Proverbs 23:7. Satan do not want you to master this. He does not want you to master your soul. Because when you've mastered your soul, you've mastered everything about you. When you've mastered your thought process, when you've mastered your imagination, when you've mastered it, Satan can't intervene no more. There's nothing he can do that you can't stop or overcome. Proverbs 23:7. For as he thinketh in his what? So what? Is he. So whatever you imagine, that's who you are. So watch this. If you ain't imagining nothing, if you ain't imagining nothing, see, boy, religion, the religious church has really done us in. Because we're so busy trying to access the spirit world without using the very tool that God used us to access the spirit world. Your mind helps you access the spirit world, but your spirit is the one that walks in the spirit world. Hope you grab that. See, your mind can't go into the spirit world on its own. Too much going on, too much happening. But your mind accesses the spirit world. That's when your spirit begins to act in the spirit world. When it does that, then you're able in the natural to do miracles, unheard of things, to do the unexpected, to do the supernatural and the natural. Daniel was able to sit in the lion's den with lions and not attack him because his imaginations were proper. Why? Because he'd been communicating with God. When you communicate with God, fear can't come in. When you communicate with God, because he would communicate with God 3 times a day. What I mean by communicate with God 3 times a day, he was taking time out of his schedule 3 times a day, setting aside everything to talk to God. So therefore, when they wanted to throw him in the lion's den, throw me. I'll talk to the God who created the lion. So if I talk to the God who created the lions, then the God who created the lions can control these lions. That's how Daniel thought. Are you seeing this? So you imagine, this is why it's important that you renew your mind with the Word of God. Not just renew your mind with the Word of God, but your intake of what you hear and what you're seeing is constantly affirming who you are in Christ. This is why covenant is so important, because a person who you're in covenant with is supposed to affirm who you are in God, not take you away from who you are in God. It's supposed to affirm who you are in God. Go with me to Genesis, the 11th chapter. Verse 6, it's talking about the people of the Tower of Babel. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this is, I like how the King James Version write this. It says, the Lord said, behold, the people is one. Not the people are one. The people is one, meaning singular. People are, English language, people are, give a connotation of multiple, more than one. But here it says, God says the people is, they were so joined together. Watch this, I'm going to show you and get to the point. They were so joined together that God said that they is one. All right? They have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them what they have imagined. To do. So what if you get your spirit, your soul, and your body on one accord? Then you can do whatever you imagine to do, because you is one. Once again, this is not rocket science. How do I get my spirit, soul, and body on the same page? Renewing the mind. If you don't renew your mind gonna figure out something to do. When God has already laid out a roadmap, has already laid out a game plan, has already laid out a path. Go with me to 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Renewing your mind with the Word of God allows you to access mysteries. Mysteries is something that is unknown, doesn't exist. But when you renew your mind, listen to me there, when you renew your mind with the Word of God, whatever don't exist can be created in your imagination. Once it's created in your imagination, all you now need is instructions on how to bring it to pass. So this is why Paul was saying this. Paul said in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He ordained it before the world unto our success. So hidden in your imaginations are mysteries for bringing things to pass that God has already planned for you. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. I know the thoughts. Thoughts are nothing more than imagination. Imagination creates an atmosphere. In your heart, that allows mysteries to be understood, mysteries to be discovered. Are you listening to me? Without your imagination, you will never get to the deep things of God. If you can't imagine it, you can't go there. The Bible says, as a man thinking in his heart, we read this, Proverbs 20 says, so is he. 3 John 2, above, brother, above all things, I wish thou prosper, be in health, what? Even as your what? So wherever your soul goes, you go. So if your imagination can't go there, then you will not arrive there physically. That's how we work. That's how we go there. There's no such thing as just accidentally getting nowhere. No such thing as accidentally getting nowhere. Wherever you get to, you did something to get there. There's no such thing as I just lucked up on this. No, you ain't luck up on nothing. You did something at a certain time to cause this to happen. People say, oh man, the lottery is just luck. No, the lottery ain't luck. Somebody bought the ticket, was prepared for when they read the numbers, they had the ticket. They could easily read the number. How many times have they read the number and nobody won? So every time somebody went, that means they were prepared by buying the ticket, waiting for the number to be read. So what if we do this on purpose? What if we prepare ourselves to be somewhere? Calling those things that be not as though they were. I'm preparing myself. When I call those things that be not as though they were, I'm preparing myself to be somewhere. I'm preparing myself to be somewhere. I'm not trying to figure out the details in between. That's not for me to figure out. That's for God to deal with. I'm just preparing myself to be somewhere. The Bible says Abraham didn't consider his body nor the deadness of Sarah's womb. That's Romans 17 verse. He said he would call no things that be not as though they were. So that means he wasn't paying attention to him, his body, and he wasn't paying attention to Sarah's body. He was preparing to be somewhere. He was preparing to be a father. That the world system say he couldn't become because of his age. His imagination did that. So when he imagined it, God said, okay, we can do this. Why we read Ephesians 3:20 if we're not going to use our imagination? Why do you even quote Ephesians 3:20? Listen to me, internet. Why do you even quote Ephesians 3:20 if you're not going to use your imagination? Turn there. Now unto him that is able, he's able. It didn't say he was going to do it, but he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or, imagine. I know you think, but I want to use imagine. He could do above what you imagine. Watch what it says, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. So, for you to understand this particular scripture, you have to understand how much God loves us and who God wants to be in our lives. According to the power that worketh in us, right? According to the power that worketh in you. According to the power that worketh in me. What that power is? Your imagination. Now God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So God does more than we ask or think, according to. It's in correlation to something. It moves in lockstep with something. So if I'm not imagining nothing, then God is always doing exceedingly abundantly above all I can ask or think. God is always doing that. But if I ain't imagining nothing, he's doing above that. But if I begin to imagine, if I begin to dream, then God is going to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think. Are y'all seeing this? Here's why. There's nothing that God has ever done in your life where he just did what you asked. Think about it. Think about all the victories you had in your life. Take a moment. Think about all the victories you had in your life. You were believing God for one thing. God not only did that, but he did some extra. Do you know why that is? God does not ever want to be considered on our level. So that means when you ask God for something, he always does more than what you ask for. Because he's God. That's who he is. He does extra because he's a father. He don't do exactly what you ask. Every victory you had in your life, God has always done what you asked, and then went above and beyond. What happened? All that happened is use your imagination. And God brought it to pass. So you have to begin to train your imagination. That's how God figures out what you want. What you want to happen. That's how when you call those things that be not as though they were, that's how God figure out what you want. I think it's Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll do what? Give you the desires of your, what are desires? Nothing but imagination. Jesus gave a great illustration. I know in Luke, the latter part of Luke 16, he was talking about Lazarus and the rich man. And the Bible says that Lazarus got the crumbs, even though it was a parable, he said Lazarus got the crumbs from the rich man's table. Does anybody know why? Because he desired it. It's okay, you can desire it. Give you crumb. So why desire crumb? Why desire these things? We talked about this last week, and I'm closing here. Don't desire what you can do. Don't desire what you can do. Don't desire what you can accomplish. Don't desire what you can get. You're limiting yourself. Did I explain to you the difference between a dream and a fantasy? I've never told you the difference between a dream and a fantasy. Your imagination, sometimes you have to dream. But don't let your dream turn into a fantasy. What's the difference between a dream and a fantasy? The difference between a dream is very simple. The difference between a dream and a fantasy, the only difference between a dream and a fantasy is a dream has a starting point of instructions. A fantasy, you never find it out. That's the difference between a dream and a fantasy. A dream always has a starting point. A fantasy, you never find a starting point. It just goes on and on and on, and you never know where to begin. Did that make sense? So, that's how you can tell the difference between a dream and a fantasy. A dream always gives you a starting point. A fantasy never does. In your imagination, you should always have a starting point. When you imagine, call those things that be not as though they were, You call those things that be not as though they were long enough, you're eventually going to find a starting point. That's the mystery. That's the mystery. That's God talking to you. Listen a minute. That's God talking to you, revealing to you, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove. Or, another word for prove, we talk about this, is recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So this is why the imagination is important. The imagination is the groundwork for you accessing the supernatural. If you don't ever imagine, there's nothing spectacular to do. Because the only purpose for your imagination is to put you where you're not. Your imagination lets you go someplace where you're not. Your imagination lets you have things that you don't physically have. So your imagination is the beginning, is the thing that lays the foundation for you to go into the supernatural. Because it causes you to see things that you don't see in the natural. It causes you to feel things that you don't feel in the natural. Your imagination ought to be so vivid that you can come up with the emotions. How you gonna feel whenever you be in that certain position? That's how vivid your imagination ought to be. And it's up to you to do it. Sometimes it's difficult, but you got to sit there and you got to focus. Sometimes you have to write it down and read it to yourself. Sometimes you might need to, let me tell you what I do. This is what I do. How many of you know the most powerful voice you ever hear in your life? Your voice is the most powerful voice you'll ever hear in your life. How I know this? Because it's your voice that tells you what you can do and your voice that tells you what you can't do. Everybody else is just suggestions. But none of it's true till you say it. Because when you say it, that means you believe it. So sometimes we got too much technology for not to be using it. Write your dream down. Record it. Let it play over and over while you sleep. Play it during the day. Let it talk to you. Let you talk to you. Why? Because you're calling those things that be not as though they were. Y'all have a good night. Everybody good on the schedule? How are we going to do this? Exams start tomorrow. You have 2 weeks for the exam. You usually have a week, right? But you got 2 weeks this time. Merry Christmas. So we will not come back to class until the 10th. All right? And the 10th is the first night of the LTMA impartation. And I believe in divine order. I believe in doing everything in order apostolically. So I wanted Tuesday, the 10th, the new year, the first class we have. Again, I want you to hear Apostle first. It's all about divine order. So we're not going to have class Monday night, all right? We're just going to have class Tuesday night that particular week, June the 10th, all right? So you got two. Go ahead. Email says the 9th. I will get that changed. You're supposed to say the 10th. I'm glad we're talking. So I will change it. So it is the 10th, all right? It is the 10th. We do not come back to class till the first night of the LTMA Impartation Conference, which is January 10th. 2017. All right. Any questions? Our exams. What chapter? You remember? It was chapter 6. We're on imagination now, which is chapter 7. It's going to be chapter 7. Chapter 7. All right. So the exams will be open tomorrow, and you'll have 2 weeks to take them. You all have a good night. I'm sorry, I'm thinking today Tuesday. It is Wednesday. You're right. That's my fault again. I'm thinking today Tuesday for whatever reason. But it is Wednesday. You have a good night.